Over these past few weeks, we've been thinking about the claims of Jesus that he makes for of himself, and claims like, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection and the life, as we were thinking last week. And this morning we come to another of his claims, and we read of it in John chapter 15, and it's page 1083. If you got a Bible on the way in. And this is Jesus speaking. It's the night that he's going to be betrayed. And they're in the upper room. He's in the upper room with his disciples. He's already made the claim that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he has these words from verse 1 of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen. Jane. This is an illustrative person. This isn't a real person, but it's maybe a person you might be able to relate to. Jane has just become a Christian. She's been coming to church for a while, in part through the influence of a friend who is also a Christian. Jane saw that her friend was different, that there was what you might call fruits in her life. Her faith made a difference in her life. And Jane, well, she wanted what her friend had. And she had discovered Jesus for herself. She'd committed her life to Jesus as she has discovered who he was and what he had done for her. But Jane is wondering, what's next? How is she meant to grow as a Christian? And what is that going to look like for her? Will there be things that she needs to change in her life? And how is she going to grow as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus? These are some of the questions that Jesus is tackling in the verses that we've just read. It begins with a declaration of Jesus as he sits round the table speaking to his disciples. I am, he says, the true vine. I am the true vine. Now, this image of a vine, well, it would have been familiar to the disciples because they were common where they lived. You know, instantly picture, I know what Jesus is talking about there. But as well as that, in the Old Testament, the people of God, the Israelite people, were often also described as God's vine. But often in their description in the Old Testament of the people of Israel being God's vine, it was seen as, well, they were the vine, but they were an unhealthy vine. Because they'd been corrupted. And they were a vine that only yielded sour grapes. And what it was getting at was that, yes, they were God's people, they were God's vine, but they weren't producing the fruit that they were meant to produce. They weren't actually the people that God had called them to be. They were a vine, but they weren't healthy. And Jesus picks up on this image that the disciples would have been more familiar with than we are, perhaps. He picks up on this image of the vine, and he says, I am the true vine. Israel's a vine, but they failed. But I'm the true one. I'm the true vine. And in many ways, it was a radical thing that he was saying. In the past, Israel had been called to be the light to the nations. They were to be the ones who provided the fruit of righteousness and justice. They were God's people, a light to the nations. And now Jesus is saying, that is not to be found in the people of Israel. It is to be found in me. I am the true vine. I am the one in whom Israel's identity and vocation come to completion. And he then extends his talk, his image, to talk of his Father, of God the Father being the gardener, him being the vine, but then also of branches. This vine has branches, and that is his disciples. That's his followers. Of which, if we are a follower of Christ, then we are a branch. And he says that as branches, as we are branches on the vine, the true vine that is Jesus, then we are to bear fruit. Verse 8, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What is the fruit that he's talking about here? Well, part of it is that he's talking about is the fruit of his kingdom that will grow and grow and grow. But it's also the fruit is seen in our lives as individuals and as a church community. As through our lives, God is glorified and honored. It is to live lives, to bear fruit is to live lives that are increasingly Christ-like. A life that shines for Jesus Christ in the darkness of the world. It is living a life filled with the Holy Spirit in which God's grace and love is seen and which is a blessing to others. Most of us, many of us, are familiar with Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he picks up on this idea of fruit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And surely that is part of the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. If you're a branch in the true vine, it's to bear fruit. It is to become the people that God the Father wants us to be. People who are shaped by Him. People through whom and in whom He is at work for His glory. And as we bear fruit in that way, then people notice. And they go, there's fruit in that person's life. They're different. And then, go, I want some of that. What is it that's brought forth that fruit in their lives? Why are they different? Fruit. Bearing fruit. How are we to bear more of this fruit? Well, there are two answers that Jesus himself gives to us in the passage as he talks about being the vine. And the first answer is one that he repeats again and again and again. You might have noticed that as we read it. The first answer to how we bear much fruit, that is, as we seek to live Christ-like lives and bear fruit in more and more folks coming to know Christ, it is by remaining in Him. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And he goes on, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in my love, he says. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Again and again in these verses, remain in me. It's almost as if he's wanting to tell us something about remaining in him. We need to be connected to the vine. We need to remain in the vine if we're to bear fruit. And to remain in Jesus is to stick closely to Him. Because we know we need Him. It begins with asking Him into your life, that He might be your Savior and Lord. That's the beginning of it all. That's how you become part of the vine. We recognize that we need Him in our life and with that, without Him, that there'll be no fruit. But it also means it's a continual thing. It's not just I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago and don't do anything about it ever since. No, it's a continual. I need to remain in Him. I need to stick close to Him. I need to have a relationship with Him. Beginning each day with Him, dedicating the day to Him, asking for His help throughout the day, speaking to Him throughout the day, having a living and daily relationship with Him, remaining in Him. It's almost a surrendering to Him and His call on our lives. seeking to follow his commands. If you follow my commands, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. To remain in him is to depend upon him for guidance, for strength. It's to seek to obey him. It's to seek to know him better and to live for him, because he is the vine and we are the branches. There's a danger, isn't there, for all of us, who follow Jesus, that we can drift rather than remain. It might happen gradually. We gradually no longer seek his will in our lives. We just do things ourselves or on our own without giving him much of a thought. We don't follow his teaching as much as we used to. We don't read the word as much as we used to. We gradually no longer surrender ourselves to him in our lives. We perhaps gave our lives to him, but we're not remaining in him. We've gradually drifted. And that can be true for us as individuals. It can also be true for us as a church family as well. And Jesus says to us, he pleads with us, remain in me, remain in me, remain in my love. And that is when fruit will be seen. The fruit that God wants to see from us and through us. We also bear fruits by being pruned, Jesus says. Verse 2 says, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. In this verse, there's a warning for those who bear no fruit because they're not remaining in Christ. These are folks who have no relationship with Jesus and who therefore do not bear the fruit of knowing him, the true vine. They're dead branches, and Jesus is quite blunt. They're cast away. And that's a warning to us. But in this verse also, there is the idea of pruning. Those who produce fruit have been pruned. Now, I'm no expert in gardening, as you can probably know already. But I'm told by very respectable people that the pruning of a vine is essential. They do it around about this time of year, December, January. And when you're pruning a vine, you have to be pretty brutal in your pruning. You go right down. Looks as if you've destroyed the thing. And if it was me doing it, I probably would have destroyed the thing. But it's only through its pruning that it produces good fruit. Now, if I were a vine branch, if I were a butterfly, if I were a vine branch, I don't think I would look forward very much to December and January. Sounds pretty painful. It sounds pretty hard. What Jesus is saying is that just as the vine needs to be pruned in order to bear fruit, that if we are to bear fruit, that there will also need to be some pruning. Pruning that might be painful, that we rather didn't happen, but which results in fruits and in joy ultimately, and in pleasing our Father. This can happen in different ways. It may take place as we read God's word together or on our own, and we perhaps hear him speaking to us through it. Many of us might have had the experience of reading the Bible or hearing a sermon, and it has challenged us. It's pointed out to something in our lives that wasn't right. Some attitude, some wrong priority, some practice that we got sucked into at work or whatever it is, and it's challenged us, and we thought, I need to change, I need to get rid of that thing or that situation, I need to deal with it, I need to change. And that can be God pruning us. But it also seems that pruning can also take place through things that happen in our lives, through times of testing or challenge or failure. Times when we might wonder, where is God in all of this? And part of what he is doing through these events is that he's teaching us, he's pruning us, he's encouraging us to remain in him, to seek him, to depend on him. And he's cutting us back, not out of vindictiveness and nastiness, so that we might bear fruit. So we ought to be the people that he calls us to be. In that room that night, as Jesus spoke these words, was Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Simon Peter on that night says to Jesus, "Everyone else will leave you, I will never leave you. Because I'm better than these guys." Simon Peter would hours later deny knowing Jesus three times, and he would be broken. But through that brokenness, God was at work in his life. And it was through that brokenness that he became who he became, that fruit came in his life. Being pruned. He was being encouraged. You need to remain in me. And it may be that God is pruning us today, or pruning you. There's some way that he is speaking to you. Certain attitudes or thoughts, certain priorities that he's wanting to cut away with his pruning knife. Not out of vindictiveness, because he's a loving Father, but so that we might be closer to him. So we might be more like the people that we're meant to be, more like our Savior. We bear fruits by remaining in Jesus Christ. We bear fruit by being pruned by our Father. As I think of folks who I've known, who have seemed close to Jesus Christ, Christian folks who I have looked up to and gone, well, that is what it is to walk with Jesus. And you see it in their lives, you see it in the way that they pray, you hear it in the way that they pray. They know God and are walking with Him. Then they are evidently remaining in Jesus, but very often, almost always, there'll be incidents in their life when they'll be able to say, God was pruning me there. And it was hard. It's very hard. And I wouldn't want anybody else to go through it. But as I've gone through it, I've known God closer than before. I've trusted in Him more than before. And it's through that pruning that I've been able to remain in Him all the more. It's a fruitful life. Two or three questions as we finish. How fruitful is my life? Am I becoming more like Jesus in my life? Is there fruit seen in my life? Am I showing others by the way that I live that I am a disciple of Jesus? Are we bearing fruit as a congregation in our community? Am I remaining in Jesus? Do I have a relationship with Him? Am I seeking to follow Him, to learn from Him, to walk with Him, to stick close with Him? Are there things in my life that need to be pruned? Is that greed or selfishness, that pride, that anger, that unfaithfulness? Let's just take a moment to reflect on these and then we'll pray together. Father God, thank You that Jesus Christ is the true vine. Help us to remain in Him. Keep us from drifting and draw us closer when we wander. When we need to be pruned, give us grace to receive Your loving work, trusting that You shape us only so that we might bear more fruits and know Your joy. Make us people who grow in the life of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Make our lives shine with the character of Christ, so that others may see Your grace at work and be drawn to You. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.